Welcome to the Mama Needs a Moment podcast. We are your hosts, Chrissy
and Cindy,
co-founders of Her Health Collective.
We are two moms obsessed with changing the way moms take care of themselves. We're so glad you're here. Let's dive in. We are honored to be talking with Michaela Cox. Michaela uses a variety of platforms to inspire, support, and guide people on their journey of life from surviving to thriving in all things. Michaela is a multi-published author and speaker on a variety of topics that she is passionate about. Not only is Michaela a published author of over 9 books, but she is also a TEDx speaker with her talk titled Thriving, Open the Door, Leave Survival Behind. And she did this for TEDx Bergen County Academies. Michaela is a solo mom to 2 kiddos. She lives in Louisiana and has a crew of fabulous friends who she travels and does life with. She is with us today to share her personal story of surviving to thriving and her new book titled, Take a Double Shot, Take 2 Breaths, and Ready, Set, Go, Continuing the Journey Through Motherhood. And she's here to teach us what it is to travel a life of 38 triple D. And yes, I know I laughed too. It's a bra size, but also it's an acronym for the tribulation that she has endured. It's a perfect example of her attitude toward life and a sentiment of her humor. And we're so excited to get a dose of that humor. Hey, Michaela.
Hey. It's definitely not my bra size. Might have been when I was pregnant, but that's been a while. It has nothing to do with my physical appearance. It has to do with life filled with a disability and divorced at 26 in 2005. And then after I got divorced in 2005, I was very blessed and fortunate to meet the man and love of my life. And we were married and together for almost 12 years, including dating. And then in 2017, at the age of 38, he passed away unexpectedly. So 3 Ds of disability, divorce, and death by the age of 38. Hint, not a bra size, but 3 Ds by the age of 38, 38 triple D. Anyway. It if you're not coming. Laughing, you're crying. And if you're not crying, you're laughing. So what the heck, man? What are you going to do?
Yeah. I mean, that's such an important attitude to have towards life when it throws all the things at you. We are going to dive more into your story very soon. Before we do that, though, I'm going to ask you just a random fun question. I don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. We're just going to kind of pull it out of a hat. So I want you to give me a number 1 through 10.
7.
This is an interesting one. What are your 3 favorite internet sites?
In what respect? Like for shopping or just in general?
Just in general. And I'm actually kind of excited because I'm always looking for new things to look at. So it could be shopping. It could be research. It could be just games or fun or just your top 3 places you would go.
I spend all my money practically on Amazon like everybody in our culture. Like, people are like, where's your Christmas lunch going? Like, Amazon, baby! I love to play on Shutterfly, and then I'm always on Wikipedia looking things up, so I do it on my phone, so I don't know if it's like a, I'm never on Wikipedia on my computer, and then I have this thing of like, if I recognize a voice, because I take the world in through my hearing mainly, and it drives me crazy if I can't identify it, so every time I'm watching TV, I have to find out who that voice is and see if I'm right, so I'm always going to IMB.com.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That's fantastic. That was IMB.com.
Yeah, internet movie database or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I do that too. I look them up. I look at my husband. I'm like, well, who is that? Whose voice is that?
I know. I can't. I have to know. And then I can like move on and enjoy the show. But, and then of course I live on Hulu.
Where are you? Are you watching anything right now on Hulu?
I've been going back through Burn Notice for like the 3rd time. It was about this Burn spy, Michael Weston. It's a fabulous show. I love it.
I'm really excited to get into our conversation. And as I mentioned in the introduction, you are a solo mom of 2, and we are a podcast whose main group of listeners are moms that are in various stages of motherhood and parenthood. Right. So I have some older kids. Chrissy has elementary school. I mean, I was going to say toddler. Oh my gosh. We've been together for 4.5 years. So our kids have grown in that time frame. One of your main messages is sharing the truth that, quote, none of us get through this life untouched by these things, end quote. You believe that people can learn how to not just survive, but to thrive in life. That we can all become overachievers and flourish in all things, but we all have to go through the struggle, the hardships, trials, and tribulations, which is really hard, especially as a parent, to watch your kids go through this. Yeah. Will you share your story? You did a little bit previously about the 38 triple D, but also how you apply grace. So grace is an acronym for you to all things. So finding grace in life and all things. And so the G-R-A-C-E stands for things. And we'd love for you to run through that.
Sure.
And tell us a bit about it.
It really came together over the last couple of years, as far as how I now talk about it in those terms. I was having a conversation with someone about my other work, and she's like, girl, you got to give yourself some grace. I'm like, yeah, I'm not very good at that, which I'm not. So I'm not being a hypocrite. It's just, it's a progress. I'm working on it. Okay. Anyone who knows me can tell when I have like this massive brainstorm, because I'm like, oh my gosh, pen and paper, you know, like explosion, you know, I got to get this down before I don't want to lose this incredible thought. I happen to find this in grief, but it can apply to everyone, because what I didn't realize at the time when I was having this incredible conversation, which is often what I feel creates these thought processes, you have conversations that are empowering that give you these new ideas and brainstorms, is that I'd already done all those things, because a lot of this I personally learned at a young age because of my disability. And I had to use it again through my divorce, and I had to use it again when I lost my husband, and I'm still using it. So I've talked about these things a lot, but just not in that, like when you're five, you're not going to say that, you know, or when you're 10, but
yeah.
As an adult, it's just a good way of looking at it. So what it stands for is the G is grounding. When you go through things, you have to have a grounding. It could be a belief system. It could be your faith. It could be another path for someone. So my faith is a huge part of it. It's also my friends, other people. It could be their family. It could be why they believe they're here, their calling, whatever. But whatever that equates to get you your why, the fact of the matter is you need a why to ground you. No matter what that why looks like or what makes up that why, you're going to need to know that, because when it comes and life hits you hard, you're going to need to understand, what the hell am I still doing here? What is going to motivate you to keep going? So that's the G. The R is for redeemed and redesigned. When life comes, you have to decide, okay, this really sucks. Sometimes we create the messes for ourselves. Sometimes we didn't ask for it and it got dropped in your lap, which is most of my life. But you still have a choice in that moment to either be defined by your circumstances or define them for yourselves, and then say, okay, what do I want out of this at this point? If I have a new life before me, and it's not easy. And this is not about easy or comfortable. I learned how to do all this through a lot of struggle and a lot of years. This just didn't come to me overnight. And I'm like, no big deal. I'll just do this. No, that's not what this is. And I'm not saying I have all the answers. But what I can say is I can share what I've learned and how it's helped me and how I believe it can help other people. I'm still figuring stuff out. Yes, 7 years ago, it's almost been 7 years since John died, my husband. Yes, I had no answers then, but in almost 7 years, I've gotten some answers and I'm still trying to figure some out. I can share what I've learned to maybe help someone else along whatever they're struggling. And the reason why I think this is so powerful and so helpful is because while my struggles come from disability, divorce, and death, your struggles, whatever they may be, won't be mine and mine won't be yours. But the idea of overcoming is the same, whether it's a health crisis, whether it's financial, whether it's a crappy childhood, you know, whatever that looks like. I can't tell you what that was like for you any more than they can tell me what mine is like for me. I can't tell you how to travel your journey, but I can tell you what you need in order to travel that journey if you choose to not be defined by your circumstances and not be the victim, but be the victor, whatever all the other, you know, half empty, half full type mentality, positive versus negative.
Sure.
Basically, what I'm saying is when those hard things come, because they will, no one gets through life without going through something. I don't care what it is. So if it's not a question of if, but a question of when, then wouldn't you rather be equipped to know what to do in the time instead of feeling like you're a deer staring into the headlights of life going, what do I do now? Yeah. Or risk drowning in it? So when you're doing the R, you're choosing to redesign your life and saying, okay, if I have this crossroad or I'm at a turning point, what do I want now? What am I going to make it look like? The A is for abundance. That could be financially, but what mainly I'm speaking of here, which I think is equally important, if not the most important and harder to do even than the choice, is the mindset, abundance and mindset, and our mental space and protecting our mental space so that we don't get bogged down in the negative and the toxic. Now, that is definitely not easy because I struggle with mine a lot. I think if we can keep the right mindset and frame a reference of mind, which is why in our society we say mindset is a game changer, and if you put your mind to it, you can do anything, because that's the key to all of it. This key can unlock all the doors that you're trying to navigate through. If you have the right mindset, you can stay true to the choices that you wanted to make, that you're grounded in because of the foundation you're standing on. So what do you do next when you're struggling with your mindset? Well, you do the C. You do the choose clarity and care over chaos and confusion, which what that means is self-care. Because when we take care of ourselves, we're going to be more balanced. We're not going to be frazzled and burning three candles and feeling like we're coming and going and running on empty and overwhelmed and like, I want to tear my hair out. I can't do this anymore. Like, stop, enough. Which we all get overwhelmed. So if we're doing self-care, we're going to have a better chance of being able to maintain our mental space, to have the abundant mindset, to stay true to the choices that we want that are grounded in our why. And then how do we do this? Well, you have the E. It's for being essentially equipped to get the tools you need, to get the care you need, to keep the mindset, to stay true to your choices that you're grounded in.
And you came up with this through your own experiences. You developed the concept of GRACE and the acronym and breaking it down in that way.
I've been talking about it for years, but I just never quite packaged it in such a neat little, easy to remember. Okay, GRACE, here's the five steps.
It's beautiful.
But there's a lot more in those steps, obviously, but the five keys, you know, to unlock right. That door for you.
Right. And how are you teaching your children the concepts of GRACE? I'm really interested to know how you instilled this in them and then how you deal with your children experiencing hardships and suffering.
Well, their main hardship is the death of their dad at such a young age. But people ask me, well, how are you doing? I'm like, when they're 18 and 21 and doing well, then we'll have this conversation. But because they're 10 and 13 right now. But I think it's a wait and see thing, because you don't know how they're going to turn out when you're still in the midst of it. We're still running our race, you know? So I'll see how it works out when they're older and grown and living the life that I know that I wanted to teach them. But as far as the day-to-day things, even though we can't see that outcome yet and we don't have a crystal ball, two things. I think it's the things we teach our kids and the way we talk to our kids and the things we communicate about. And then we know, especially in the teenage years, I feel like you're getting drowned out all the time. Like, hey, mom, blah, 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 blah. Who knows what they're really taking in? But probably more of their actual what they'll remember and can say that they saw mom do is come in the years of grief and loss after losing their dad. And so I'm hoping by them seeing me trying to live our best life and thrive and the things that I'm doing now to stay busy and do the things that I'm doing to keep growing and progressing and do the next right thing, maybe they'll say, okay, she's still continuing, even though, I mean, they probably won't fully appreciate what it was like to be a solo mom without a partner until they're grown and either maybe have their own kids, but she still did stuff, you know, she still made sure we had what we need, or you know, I don't know, fill in the blank. Really what we're talking about right now is instilling in our children what we want them to know for life. Cause we always say, okay, kids, listen, this is important. This is important. And so I started writing this book about when you go out, when you're 18 and start your own journey, this is what I want you to take with you. These things that we're talking about, the perseverance, the endurance, the learning how to thrive in life, living your best life, and the lessons that it takes to persevere and be tenacious and be determined and dedicated. After John died, I really want my children to know when they go out into the world and start traveling their own journey, this is what I want you to know, but if your dad was here, this is what he would tell you to. I mean, it's written to my children, but it's really for us parents and anyone who takes care of kids about, let's stop and think about what do we want to teach our kids before they're gone out on their own journeys. Take a sip, take a breath is about our journeys as moms and what we go through as moms and what I kind of learned being a new mom, because what made me want to write it was I was living in New Hampshire, 26 hours away from most of my girlfriends, and they had already had kids because I was a little bit late starting to have kids. It was really kind of therapeutic for me because it was my own journey. But then I started thinking, wait a minute, if half the world is women, then most, if not all, are going to become moms at some point. So I can't be the only one going through this. So maybe I need to write this down. So I did. And that's how we got Take a Sip, Take a Breath.
Michaela, I've heard you mention several times your group of friends. I've heard you mention friends in your life, and you have New Year's things and you do all these things. We talk to a lot of the moms in our community about friendships and how it's hard to make friends as an adult and the struggle with that. And it seems like you have a very close group of friends. Will you talk us through the importance of friendships in having a thriving life and how they have become a help to you in this path that you're on in finding grace and navigating the triple D's and, you know, just being in life? And also, I guess I would ask, how did you come to find these friends? Have they been with you since childhood, or did you find these friends as an adult?
This episode is sponsored by Her Circle, the supportive and welcoming community for moms created by Her Health Collective.
Her Circle is a welcoming and supportive community for moms who are passionate about making change for themselves, their families, the community, and the world. Together, this village of women are revolutionizing the way moms take care of themselves.
From an active, private online community and the incredible daily chats hosted there, to our many gatherings, including support groups, Mom's Night Out, volunteer opportunities, book club, family adventures, coffee chats, and so much more. We love providing moms the chance to connect and create authentic relationships with one another.
The network of experts in Her Circle are a phenomenal resource and provide great learning experiences for moms on topics ranging from women's health to parenting. We cover the issues that matter to moms the most, from virtual expert Q&As to one-on-one wellness minute consultations and support groups. We are committed to getting moms in front of the information, experts, and support they need most.
To learn more about Her Circle, head to www.herhealthcollective.com. We have a limited number of spaces and the doors only open a few times a year. So be sure to add your name to the no obligation waitlist so you are the first to know when the doors officially reopen.
Yes and no. It's a multifaceted answer to that question. Oddly enough, I struggled making friends growing up because I'm a redheaded person, and I was the legally blind chick. So it was quite obvious who was the disabled child in school. And by force of accommodations of what was required for my vision, I had all the IEPs, I had all the accommodations. I always had to sit at the front of the classroom. So it's no secret as to what I was and who I was. And unfortunately, we all know that kids, as sweet as some can be extremely cruel. And I was bullied a lot. I was harassed a lot. I was teased a lot. So I struggled to make friends for a long time. But when I got into high school, I still struggled. But then I was originally born in Houston, Texas, and we lived in Texas until summer of 88 when we moved to Louisiana, which is where I'm back at now. I really didn't have any friends in Louisiana until my longtime bestie, who I'm usually referencing continually, and probably some people think it ad nauseum, because it's like every other word. It's like, Mindy this, Mindy that. She moved up from New Orleans, and we were friends ever since, and that was in 94, and I actually just told her the other day, you realize we've been together for 30 years? She's like, that is wild. And then I did have some throughout the years. I really got a lot of them in college because that's kind of where I thrived, because high school sucked for me. Oh my gosh. You couldn't pay me enough money to relive middle school or junior high or middle school. College, let's go back, please. Can I live in college? That was the best. But yeah, I loved it. It was amazing. But I often find that people that thrive in high school struggle in college, and people that hate high school tend to thrive better in college. And it's like you come into your own, and like what was weird in high school is like, oh my God, you're amazing. And then it's like embraced, and you're like, if you can just get through those 700 and whatever the heck 80 days, it'll be better on the other side. And Mindy and I stayed close. And I guess because I struggled making friends for so long in life, I've always treasured the ones that came my way, and I hung on to them for dear life, and I valued that, and I put a lot of stock in that. And I'm sometimes too loyal to my detriment in other respects, but I hang out a long time, and I've always the one, like when I lived in New Hampshire, I stayed in close contact. Not that they didn't either, but that was just important to me. So when I moved back, when I was back with Mindy a lot, she helped me get plugged into her friends that I kind of knew, but I was away for 10 years. It's not that I didn't know them, but I moved off. And so they'd all work to get their, you know, grow and have that bond of that tribe that you go with. And then I automatically got plugged into them, and most of them were attached to my church. So it was mainly, it's a lot easier, especially because I moved. I was already kind of established in Louisiana from living there for 19 years before I moved to New Hampshire. And it was a lot of it was through choice of wanting to stay close to friends and that valuing that so much and putting a high priority in my life on that. Because like I said, I struggled with it for so long. So some of it was childhood. And then some of it is the ones that are really meaningful to you. You stick with through the years and you travel together. Also, I learned how, because of a disability, how to find the people that, you know, you can count on that when you need help. Because one of the parts I can tell you is not a good idea. When you're legally blind, you really shouldn't drive. That's not a good equation for anyone. I stay off the roads, public community service. Thank you, community. The roads okay. are bad down there on it. So I rely on a lot of people. And so, you know, I know who I can count on and who I can't. I've gotten really good at thinking outside of the box and getting creative solutions for if you can't move the mountain, you go around it, you go up it, you go under it, whatever. And so I just invest in those people and they invest in me and we do life together. And especially over the last 7 years, they've been really helpful in getting through having to navigate what would be a hard journey anyway in and of itself of grief and losing a partner to raising kids, but then to do it when you can't drive.
Oh, so, it's so nice that you have built that support system underneath you. I know that it's a struggle for a lot of our moms and a lot of adult moms in general struggle with building these friendships because of the distractions of life. But you had referenced Mindy which as your bestie. And yeah. on your website, you shared that the idea of thriving in all things in life that we've been talking about, grace and all of that, that came from an amazing evening in late December 2019, spent yep. sitting on the back porch. Now, was that at yeah. Mindy's house?
Yeah,
that was at Mindy's house. Okay.
Yeah. It was an empowering conversation. I was really feeling stuck in my journey at that point because I knew being at that point, I was 2.5 years into grief. In grief, for anyone that may be listening that travels grief, if they have to travel grief, you very much find yourself in and both. I like to call it and both. It's not one thing anymore.
Right.
And you're in this constant state and perpetual reality of duality and both. Like you're wanting to do well, but anytime anything good happens, you're happy about it. But then even if quietly in the back of your mind, you think, well, they're not here to see it, or I can't share this with them, or John never saw Jesse, my son, never play baseball. He never saw Megan play basketball or go on her choir. The list is endless of how what to go on to do.
Yeah. It.
So it's this constant duality of I wanted something different in my life, but a lot of people don't like the terminology moving forward and moving on because it's not true. You're not moving on. You're not moving forward because you don't want to. You don't want to do life without them. A better way of saying it is you're figuring out how to do the next thing and you're moving through it because they're always with you, especially if that's what you choose and you don't ever want that life that tore you apart or took you away from them. And so I was feeling very stuck in 2019 about knowing I needed to figure out what I needed to do next, but I didn't want to do anything that felt more like a bigger loss because I was tearing myself away from our life together, even though he was already gone, been gone. And so I didn't want to feel like I was moving further away from that, but I knew I had to move in a new direction, but I was feeling stuck and torn between the two. And so she said, why not be a tree? You're still rooted in what you want, but you grow up and out and you start to figure out how to thrive. So that's how it came about.
How beautiful.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful friendship there. And just the analogy that she created and helped to instill in you that helped you flourish. So many people feel an emptiness in their gut, or there's this desire to seek something, but they feel stuck. Like you had referenced feeling stuck when you were just talking about your realization at Mindy's home. We don't know where to start or what to do. What would you say to the people who are listening that are trying to figure out how to move forward, but the path hasn't been made clear for them yet? What would you say to them?
I used to be irritated by this because I heard a lot of people say it and I found it absolutely ridiculously annoying because I'm a type A type of person and I like to do things just so, just right. Just tell me the right thing to do and I'll do it. And in grief, unfortunately, there is no right answer. I just want to know, I don't want to do anything wrong. So you have to get comfortable in grief of the doing the uncomfortable. And well, I can tell you how to travel this journey. No one can tell you how to travel it for yourself, because what's right for you won't be right for me, and what's right for me won't be right for you, which is really irritating and exasperating for people who like to know all the right things and the next thing, or planners, and just tell me where to go and I'll do it. If you trust yourself and you trust what you know to be true and stay true to your grounding and look at your choices that are ahead of you and listen to what you know to be true for you and your inner voice, and in my case, what I know God was telling me, it will come to you and you will figure out the next right thing, and you just have to take that next right thing that's right for you. And it doesn't matter if it's not right for anybody else.
Yeah. I think somewhere I saw that you have words. Do you have a specific word for 2024 that?
Yes, I do. I started that with Mindy. I told you, you're going to hear it a lot. Y'all know, if anyone knows me really
Mindy,
well.
Mindy, we love you.
Yeah. Y'all said that. We started in 2018 or 19. I've never done it before. And like, I'd done resolutions before, but I got sick of them because like everyone else is like, they stick for only a while. I'm like, this is frustrating. And I don't like not finishing when I start. So I like having a direction for the year and a word that inspires it and seeking what I want in all things. 2018 or 19, it was follow the path, then it was thrive for like 2 years. I was a little bit slower on that one. And then I think it was growth, and then it was fruitful. And then I did abundance last year. And then this year it's reveal.
Reveal. Tell us about that.
Once again, I was with Mindy. We were doing an errand and she went in to do something. And I was just, we had talked about our word of the year because we start thinking about it. And I felt like I knew what I wanted, but I didn't know. It didn't seem to fit into any one box. Like it wasn't, it's just as simple as I want something new, or I want love, or I want new adventure. It wasn't as simple as one thing. It was, I need to know what's next. I was like, reveal. And I was like, but reveal what? And just about everything I put behind it, I want to be revealed this year. It works. So it's just like, reveal to me what's next and what I want this year.
We're so grateful for your time and for sharing everything you shared with us. I admire your perseverance. Yeah. Loss is devastating and it's so hard to get through. And then you had things added on there, such as being a single parent, and you just are a great testament to strength and perseverance, and you're wise. You're very wise. So thank you for sharing all of that with us in your books. We'll be sure to link everything in the show notes. And your most recent book that's coming out is Take a Double Shot, right? That's your most recent book?
That'll be in September. And I'm hoping to have something. I wrote, in addition to Now I See, an actual practical guide for people that are in grief called In Finding Grace Through Grief. It's a 3-book bundle that I hope to be having out in March. And then April, I'll have a new one out in the Now I See series, hopefully. And then there's a book coming out in May that I hopefully, I think we're releasing. I wrote collectively with another group called Echo This that'll be coming out. And then July and August and September. See, I'm always doing something. There's always.
You are. You're so busy. Yeah. And it sounds like writing is extremely therapeutic for you. So I love that you share it with the world. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me. I hope this has been empowering, or maybe good for your audience to help them figure out as they're as moms. Because, you know, motherhood is not easy. And we choose to, when we come to motherhood in our own different ways and paths. And they're like, what the heck? Like there's no roadmap to motherhood any more than there is to grief. So
I think we probably say that a lot throughout the day. What the heck?
It's just like, okay, what now? And I think back to the motherhood thing, this is kind of similar to what I would tell other people. I would say one of the biggest things we can do for mom is to be our own advocate. And I believe that comes from, I'm not saying don't listen to experts, but you're going to know your kid better than anyone else. And so if your mommy inner voice is telling you to do this, then advocate for yourself and don't ignore it, and do what you know is right for your kid, and to heck with everyone else.
What an interesting conversation that was with Michaela today. I'm so glad we had the chance to sit down with her and hear some of her story. I know that she has been through so much and she's really turned it into a source of power. She's turned it into a big part of her story and how she connects with the world. And it's a piece of who she is that she shares with the world. And I think that's really, really beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. I love how she just reaffirms that none of us get through this life untouched by things. And that's just so true. There's no way you can come out unscathed. And we all try to prepare and, you know, stay on edge, but there's just really no way to do that. And so one of the things that I really loved was to hear her explain, one, the 38 triple D, I think is hilarious how it's a bra size, but she took it and changed it from something that was very serious and hard for her into something with a little bit of comedic relief. And that was just very admirable, you know, that she's using humor in a way to help lighten her heart. I also really liked how she has developed this acronym GRACE. And from what she had said, it had been a long coming thing where experience after experience over the years, she'd been processing this in her mind, but that it finally came down to sitting down and putting it into this acronym of GRACE, finding grace in life and all things, which G is gaining your grounding in life. So grounding. The R was redeemed or redesigned. So daring to redefine and redirect your course in life. The A is abundance, and that's learning to live in abundance. And she had referenced not only around money, but also our mindset and how our mindset really matters with things. The C is for care, and it's choosing clarity and care over the chaos and confusion. She's referring to self-care there, and that was huge for, especially for us with her health collective. And then the E was equipped, being essentially equipped to having resources and tools for your journey and thriving in life. And so with that, I kind of think it's like having your support systems and creating relationships and making sure that when the bad things happen, which we know that they will at varying degrees, that we have people there who can lift us up. That was huge what I took away.
Yeah, I think one of my standout takeaways from the conversation is when we were talking about this idea that Michaela believes that people can learn how to not just survive, but to thrive in life. She paused and she made sure to throw out the disclaimer, if they choose. I think that that's really, really powerful. It's also in the R, in the word grace, this idea of daring to redefine, redirect, and redesign your course in life. Life is a choice. And I think that's what I take away from this. I think about my own moments in life where I've dealt with grief or life has thrown me a wrench that I had to overcome in some way. And there always was a choice. It doesn't always feel like it in the moment. And sometimes you have to work through the muck and be down in the thick of it for a little while. But eventually there is a point when you do get to make a choice and you get to choose how you are going to look at this, how you are going to handle it, how you are going to show up in the world, the story that you're going to tell yourself about this. And she mentioned not being a victim, but being a victor. And I think that's really important. I think we all experience things where we do feel like a victim for a time, and we might sit in that for a little bit, but we can choose to move beyond that at a certain point and look for the moment where we can shift that story in our head. And it's all about the words that we tell ourselves and the story that we're telling. It's so important.
Yeah.
So that was something that I took from her.
I love that. And I'm really glad you shared that, because that was really special. That was really a nice thing to point out for sure. Yeah. She had so many wonderful things to say, and I just enjoyed our time with her.
Yeah. We'll definitely link to all her books, because she is a busy woman. My Holy goodness.
How many books? 14?
14, she said. So get to reading, especially if you are navigating anything, especially with grief. It sounds like a lot of her books touch on that too. So it could be a helpful resource for some people.
We've enjoyed hanging out with you today, friend. We hope you got to finally enjoy a hot cup of coffee as you listened. Make sure you follow us so you're the first to know when we drop a new episode.
If you've enjoyed your time with us, let us know by leaving a review. We always love hearing from you. Until next time, stay true to you.